If you've been listening to Team Human, then you've heard about our sponsor, Groucho, the folks who find you people in your area to do dinners and salons with. Well, they've turned out to be not only a supporting sponsor of the show, but also a Team Human utility. That's right. So many Team Human people have been using the app to find others where they live that Groucho has ended up facilitating Team Human dinners in cities across the U.S. And there's people in a bunch of places looking for others to gather with. That's right. Team Human people in Alameda, Albany, Audubon, West Sussex, Brooklyn, Burlington, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Grayson, Hutchinson, Lafayette, Libertyville, London, L.A., Malvern, Medusa, Montreal, New York, Newcastle, San Diego, Owosso, Philadelphia, Portland, Prescott, Richmond, Sacramento, Santa Cruz, Sayo, Storrs, Toronto, Wichita. So if you're on Team Human in one of those places and looking to find the others, go to mygroucho.club/teamhuman. Use the code TEAMHUMAN for half off the first month. And even if you're not looking for Team Human others, fill out the form and see who the curators find for you. That's mygroucho.club/teamhuman. You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. A chance to take the bull market by the horns and reveal the bullshit economy it's creating. Now, not even bullshit, because it doesn't fertilize anything. Today, we're going to look at the economic forever chemical called money. What it does, and how to keep it from accumulating in the organs of a living culture. It's time to intervene on behalf of people and all living things. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and you're on Team Human. I've been marveling lately at the sheer size of the numbers associated with money these days. They're colossal figures that feel like they're dwarfing reality. As I record this monologue, U.S. national debt is $39.94 trillion. A stack of pennies worth that much would be 42 times the distance of the Earth to the sun. Even in dollar bills stacked up, it would be high enough for around 6 trips between the Earth and the moon. In money, it's about $283,000 per U.S. taxpayer. Or think of America's healthcare costs. It's a way more manageable cognitive load at just $5.7 trillion annually. It's by far the most in the world for not even close to the best care. And don't worry, that cost is going up because the administration just doubled the price of generic drugs from overseas, lest they compete too effectively with our overpriced versions. See, when money is this big, this many times bigger than any transactional reality it was meant to serve, things get weird. I just had a student asking me, confused, about why good employment news makes the stock market go down. Shouldn't good employment news be good for business because people will have more money to spend? You'd think so. But because money and capital matter so much more than real people, kind of works the opposite way. The better off people are doing, the worse it is for the money gods. When unemployment goes down, it means more people have jobs. If companies are hiring people, it means their payrolls are going up. And if they're spending money on employees, then there's less to be siphoned off as profit for shareholders. Therefore, stock values, or at least stock prices, go down. Lay off a bunch of employees and the stock market rewards you. But even more insidiously and systemically, if people are getting employed, it means that the working classes are starting to do better. They'll have more money to spend and start buying stuff, more demand. This could make prices go up, which in turn makes cash correspondingly less valuable. Get it? Like if the cost of this ring or a can of kumquats goes up from $5 to $10, that means each buck is less valuable. And the Federal Reserve, oh, it hates that. Their primary job is to keep money valuable. So when employment goes up, they raise interest rates, making money more expensive to borrow from the bank. That fights inflation, but it makes it harder for companies to borrow money to grow their operations. And if it's harder for companies to borrow, they can't grow as fast, so their stock prices go down. It's all so counterintuitive, but that's because money and people are at odds. They're from different universes. People are living, metabolizing, impermanent beings. Our health and flourishings dependent on our ability to transmute and transform food into waste, into fertility, attraction to love, to mourning, to rebirth. We're cyclic, ever-changing. We're temporary. Money, at least the money that was chosen for us to use, is meant to last. It's like a forever chemical. Once issued, it never goes away. It's not real, mind you. It's just a digit, a symbol. But that's why it never dies. It has no form, nothing to decay, nothing to metabolize, no way to change. As we've talked about before, we live in a pyramidal civilization optimized for savings and growth. We resist being metabolized by climbing higher up the pyramid. The wealthier we are, the higher we go, the more insulated we are, or at least feel, from the realities of floods and storms and decay and competition. In that kind of society, we want money to be as permanent as possible. Not like the monies of the Muslims or those local currencies of the late Middle Age Europeans. Those were monies optimized for transactions between people. Their only purpose was to help promote the exchange of goods and services between people. They would usually expire at the end of the day, like poker chips after a game. Or if they were based on a commodity, like stored grain, they'd lose value over time as the grain itself decayed. Money was built to support flow, respiration, exchange. It didn't get stuck. People didn't collect it because it didn't have any value other than as a temporary placeholder for people to trade. Money for horizontal societies, it was more organic and decayed just like people do. And because people couldn't store it permanently to rise up above their peers, they didn't optimize their work for savings and growth. They optimized their lives for leisure and meaning. Get your work done, exchange it for what you need, then enjoy your life until you need to work again. It was like air you breathe in and breathe out. You don't hold your breath to get more powerful. You exhale and inhale to become more alive. Right? Living monies, they promoted life. The monies we use, starting with central currency, they promote death. Permanence over respiration, monopolies over exchange. They pool and accumulate by design. Let me explain really simply how they came to be this way. When kings and other elites saw people using local currencies and living in prosperity, they got really scared. How do you maintain authority over people? How do you hold on to your entitlement, your birthright to control others if they're all happy and prosperous? You can't. So kings made all these local monies, all these temporary monies, made them illegal and forced people to use central currency or coin of the realm. This money wasn't designed to promote exchange so much as lock in the wealth of those who were already at the top of the pyramid. People had to borrow money at interest from them simply to transact. No free trading or barter allowed. If you got caught trading with some other form of money, they'd kill you. Yes, Philip the Fair, King of France, sent the Knights Templar in there to kill anyone using any means of exchange other than coin of the realm. And the already wealthy got even wealthier by maintaining the exclusive power to lend money to people who just wanted a way to transact. Central currency, our money, has always been about the preservation of wealth, the entrenchment of power, going up the pyramid and staying there. The more you print, the more debt you've created, and the more power you have over anyone trying to do the real business of life. Instead of a society of exchange, we got a society based on growth. After all, if a king lends out money at interest, more money has to be paid back. Where does that new money come from? Growth. So everybody out there is not just exchanging goods and services, but trying to earn enough money through their labor that they can pay interest on the money they're using. This growth mandate supported, well, it actually required the colonial expansion of the European empires. Everything was denominated in coin of the realm, money that lasted forever, so that those holding it could maintain their wealth. And like the forever chemicals now polluting our topsoil and oceans and bloodstreams and livers, forever money and its anti-respiratory bias has seeped into everything. It's like a PFAS, that chemical that was developed as nonstick Teflon coating for pans, but then seeps into everything else. And like college or medical debt, it never goes away. It cannot be metabolized. Our money's also like Teflon in the way it's made so nothing sticks to it. It's not local, not personal. It's anonymous, generic. Its users are free of responsibility for the damage they create with it. It just slides off. Investors, shareholders, derivatives holders, increasingly removed from the externalities of their efforts. No residue. And like PFAS, money is continually re-engineered to improve. I didn't think I'd like getting sponsors for Team Human, but turns out the ones who actually want to sponsor us totally get what we're about. Like Groucho, which uses technology as an antidote to social isolation, handling all the logistics for twice monthly gatherings between you and a hand-curated cohort of collaborators. It's as if Groucho were informed by the ideas we share on this show, from face-to-face interaction to bottom-up community to localism to the value of eccentricity over conformity. Groucho curates people as if they were being selected for an artist's colony, not clones, but complements and contrasts, ingredients for a collaborative stew. They also take care of all the logistics from dinner reservations to conversation starters. Just go to mygroucho.club/teamhuman for half off the first month. Answer some questions about yourself in your own time and let the humans at Groucho do the rest. That's mygroucho.club/teamhuman. Use the code teamhuman for half off the first month and enjoy your dinner and new friends. On itself, turning more matter and energy into itself, converting organic matter into dead symbol systems. I mean, what's crypto after all? But an excuse to build and run the servers required to store it. It's a meaningless product that requires NVIDIA chips, oil, cobalt, rare earth metals. Crypto is just the front end on the fossil fuel and chip manufacturing industries. We burn planet to prove our faith in the digital tokens. Again, transforming matter and energy into tokens. The real living world of time and transformation and metabolism into the dead world of tokens and permanence. Money for its own sake. And of course, a meme coin of a president like Trump, a reality star hiring other reality TV stars into the spectacle of an administration now robbing the wealth of generations to come, of course he'd get into this game. Although he called crypto a scam in 2021, he now wants to make the U.S. the crypto capital of the planet. He's got his own tokens, his own stablecoin, even his own exchange. Countries now bribe him simply by carrying out multi-billion dollar crypto transactions on his platform. But the real robbery here is getting hapless MAGA believers to buy Trump's coins. Investors have lost $3.81 billion on Trump's meme coin alone, which lost 98% of its value. If you include Melania's meme coin, American Bitcoin, and his new governance token, the World Liberty Financial, just listen to these names. If you count all that, investor losses go up to $7 billion. That's over a million people who lost their savings while Trump accumulated around $3 billion off of them, and his family businesses countless more. But beyond this particular grift, what's really happening here? Political energy, social dissatisfaction, cult celebrity, all converted into token. Real stuff into digital symbols. Movement into stasis. Life into death. For tokens. tokens, what colonialists and conquistadors gave to indigenous people for land, to reduce a living earth into static property and ratchet power irreversibly up the pyramid. And when the crypto grift got too obvious, too blatant a rug pull with no practical or essential value, they add another front end, a new interface to hide its valuelessness from us. NFTs did that. We all knew crypto was worthless. In 2018, the whole crypto market fell into the beginning of a long winter of disinterest. That meant less mining, less energy expended, and fewer NVIDIA chips sold. But the ERC 721 standard for NFTs on Ethereum, it was standardized that same year. OpenSea was launched, and NFTs became the new front end on crypto. A meme, 10,000 variations on a cartoon image, something almost like art, sitting like a tag on a bunch of tokens, pretending to give them value. And the whole grift gave people the sensation they were supporting the arts, not investing in another crypto pyramid scheme. The NFT art sales were really just a way to bolster the underlying cryptocurrencies, and the cryptocurrencies just an excuse to burn more oil, mine for more rare earth minerals, and produce more data centers and NVIDIA chips. The tail, wagging the dog. Even art became the calling card for forever money and the deadly pyramid in which it accumulates. And when that whole marketplace got so bloated it crashed, what happened? A new savior came in to justify the metals, the slavery, the energy, and the chips. That's right, AI. Even without a demonstrated function, AI became the new space race. Its primary purpose was not to enable better thinking, but to keep the NVIDIA chips in production and even bigger processing centers than they needed to mine for Bitcoin. AI, it's just the new face on crypto. Think about it. AI companies, they measure their quarterly results in what metric? Tokens. That's what we spend when we use the stuff. We're transforming our time, thought, electricity, groundwater into what? Tokens. Yes, they're tokens of code in the processing blocks of AI computers instead of tokens of coin in the processing blocks of crypto computers. But the metaphor holds. We're turning more and more of the real living world into dead tokens. More human cognition into AI slop, forever slop, while rotting our living brains in the process. In order for AI companies to make money, we turn physical matter, human labor, and cognition itself into tokens, while robbing the world of resources, people of liberty, and humanity of thought. And given the economic hole we've dug, we have to somehow create $36 trillion worth of tokens in the process. Right now, that's going to be hard with China now offering free AI. Yeah, Alibaba and others are out there online for free. Yes, China has put filters on it, right, to prevent users from learning about Chinese history or treatment of the Uyghur people today. But unlike the filters on Grok, it doesn't spew disinformation. It simply says, I cannot answer that question, or the output contains inappropriate content. Now, anyway, their low-cost versions of LLMs show we're pinning our economic hopes on a commodity that can be rug-pulled. Tokens. Tokens. Remember Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins? The old lady sitting on the bench, feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, right? Tuppence is 2 pence. Give the old lady 2 pence and she'll convert them back into seed or breadcrumbs or whatever real thing you get in the little bag to feed the birds. That's the transformation we're looking for. From token back to stuff, figure back to ground, money back to life. And that's a movie about a magical goddess, right? Super Kelly, who teaches a banker to make his life about his kids and his suffragette partner instead of about money. So what do? You can't get rid of money entirely, but you can live by a different metric, like time spent with friends, depth of your conversations, number of insights, philosophers understood, music played. This is what we called slacking when people like me got out of college in the 1980s to a world with no jobs. We temped at coffee shops or grocery stores. I tutored SATs, waited tables at weddings, transcribed legal depositions, and played cocktail piano a few hours a week, and optimized for leisure time, conversations, intellectual freedom, and writing for no money. They called us lazy, but we were working, just not for money. And in the process, we were contributing less to the pyramid, finding lateral means of support, like offering our couches to people between homes, to making meals together. We reduce the need for the forever chemical money balance sheet. And when you do use money, so be it. But optimize for flow, regeneration, and life. Keep it in RAM, not the hard drive. Moving so it doesn't leach into your flesh. It can't be digested, only circulated. So lean into those principles of flow and generosity and see how it comes back. Make money as soft and temporary and valueless as it really is, and maybe something better will come to replace it. Thanks for being on Team Human. You can get some of that forever money out of your system by supporting this show at patreon.com/teamhuman. Be sure to subscribe right now. It really helps. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button right under this video image. If you've got a business with means to sponsor us, and that's making any reasonable efforts toward doing things in a pro-human way, please give us a shout at team@teamhuman.fm. We'd love to partner with you like we do with Groucho and our other loving sponsors. Team Human is produced by Joshua Chapdelin and edited by Luke Robert Mason. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and you've been on Team Human, our last best hope for peeps.